ho, ho. Merry Ratmas.
Merry Ratmas, one and all.
Has Father Ratmas been?
Boy, what day is this?
Why, it's Ratmas.
At Ratmas time, think about rats and we cherish rats. Because in a world of rats, you can put your hands around a rat.
Squeeze a rat tonight. It's Ratmas time.
Thousand driver of rats.
Then drive over another rat.
If you kill a rat, three rats sprout out of its severed neck cavity.
Oh, there's a rat outside your window.
And it definitely will eventually get in. Because you can't outthink the rats.
Rat must have.
Welcome to Ratmas, one and all.
Welcome to Ratmas.
Welcome. You've enjoyed Christmas. That was fine. Of course it was fine.
Yeah.
But now it's time for the real celebration of the year.
Yeah.
The other side of a coin.
Which
the
is?
The other side of a chocolate coin.
Yeah.
A partially chewed chocolate coin.
Because there isn't just a jolly bearded man going up and down your chimney at Christmas, is there? There's hundreds of rats going up and down your chimney, up and down all your pipes, through your air conditioning units.
Navigate.
Yeah.
Every single chimney, every single time.
Yeah. It's a holly jolly Ratmas. It's a Ratmas time. For me, I sort of think that it won't get old to me changing the songs of Christmas songs from Christmas to Ratmas. That I could do an hour of that.
I'm dreaming of a white rat on Ratmas because white rats have the highest social status amongst the rats.
There'll be no rats with little pink eyes. They're freaky, freaky little rats.
And they'll shit in your air fryer. You know what? It wasn't a rat, but I think it was a mouse. But I once made a terrible discovery once. Now, I have to take you back to the Baron's Court days.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You're not saying you had infestations in Baron's Court, did you?
They didn't count as infestations. They were non-paying sort of tenants. They were just part of the system. So to picture the scene, open bin.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've previously talked, just to explain if people haven't heard that.
We talked about it recently.
You lived in a flat where you had an open bin policy. You had
an open bin policy.
Instead of having the flappy top, you took that off, so it was easier to throw tea bags in.
That's right. And more hygienic because grime couldn't adhere to the lid if there is no lid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We also had a bathroom with constantly wet, dripping, slowly dripping paint. Gathering like stained glass windows gather over centuries, you know, get sort of
fatter at the bottom.
Get fatter at the bottom. That was happening with the walls. But something I haven't talked about, I don't think, was the time when I went into the kitchen in the morning one day and was presented with a kind of weird, like, sort of locked door, sort of Poirot mystery, which was, there was a loaf of bread which had been left out. Again, for hygiene reasons, it was cleaner outside of the fridge, generally.
Also, don't fridge your bread.
You don't fridge your bread, do you? No, very rare.
You just nail it to the wall.
You nail it to the wall, so it's out of the reach of all but the very, very tallest of the rats. Obviously, you have to pay the tall rats their tithe. Otherwise, they'll drink your contact lens fluid. So there was a loaf of bread out, but basically the loaf of bread looked like the equivalent of a packet of biscuits. If you take all the biscuits out, reinflate the packet, leave it on a sideboard, you've got an excellent pre-internet sort of bit of entertainment. When a friend comes in and thinks the biscuits are full. Yeah, you know that one?
Sure.
Yeah, it's good, clean, analog fun. Nowadays, of course, you just do a TikTok of eat something to do with biscuits, don't you, instead? Yeah?
Presumably.
You just vape a biscuit on TikTok.
You just vape a biscuit. Yeah. And it's probably like a special Japanese illustrated biscuit with really cute-looking eyes on. Dances around singing a song that you don't understand.
Have you been on TikTok? I think you've imagined a much better thing than it actually is.
No, I know TikTok, it's actually families, isn't it, in a kitchen dancing. They go da-da-da-da, and they click their hands and they're all wearing swimwear and they dance more.
And then they're all wearing sort of matching pajamas and stuff. Yeah.
That's TikTok, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so. I'm not on it, but.
Email in, let us know what it is. Anyway, so it's like someone done that thing done with the biscuits with bread. So they'd essentially all of the bread was out. It was just the crust, essentially. And it was one. It was like quite a squared off loaf.
So you're looking for a rat with straight hair.
Why would that be the case?
Well, because the crusts keep your curls, don't they? You get curly hair if you eat crusts.
Oh, good point. Yes.
Mike, you know that I don't have any hair-related wisdom. I've never stored it because it's not. That's just a little side jibe, isn't it? That was just a little veiled dig at me for being bald man, wasn't it?
I'm just saying, if you were to spot a rat with a lot lovely, luscious, bouncy curls, you know that's not your culprit.
That's not my culprit. By the way, is there any other sort of hair lore and wisdom you'd like to share in front of me, perhaps about how rubbing lime into your head makes you...
That was your first mistake. That is the major
problem. I shouldn't have rubbed lime
of men in their 20s.
That builder's lime.
It's the wrong kind of lime. I was going for a Shane Warne sort of like beach effect. Yeah. And then I just added creosote, which made it worse. Tried to take the whole thing off with a builder's wrench. Just took off the top layer of skin. I had to have a skin transplant.
And the pebble dashing really finished you off. By then it was too late. You wouldn't listen to anybody.
It was too late.
That sounds pretty traumatic, Henry. Although, what they left you behind with is the perfect bread bowl to fill it with sort of meat and eggs, whatever. And, you know.
Yeah, lovely.
That's true. Or a vase for
a vase for the naturally occurring flora in the Baron's Court flat.
Exactly. Or no, bread vase, but for once a vase which, you know, mirrors the ephemeral beauty of a flower because it eventually goes off, you know, doesn't last forever. Like that's part of the beauty of flowers, isn't it?
Yes, I've never seen a loaf wilt.
They don't. It's not often you see that. Hmm. But no, so it was more surreal than that. So it was the empty loaf, still squared off. Mm-hmm. This was before rough-hewn sourdoughs were trendy. It was very much your breads were... You could measure them with a...
It was a breeze block.
It was a breeze block of bread.
It was like an ancient construction unit.
Exactly. You could absolutely stack them. You could build a solid... You know, with the right angles, you could, without even needing any creosote, you could build a functioning bridge, couldn't you, that would sustain two or three chariots, wasn't it? You know, those old bridges that don't have any creosote on. it was in the days of really, really square bread. And next to it was a huge pile of breadcrumbs. It was just the most surreal. It was like a really horrifying sight because it was so weird. So a huge pile, like a pyramid of breadcrumbs and an empty bread vase on its side. So just pure crust. So the most delicate, you know.
Yeah.
Loaf of bread you could imagine with no innards, just the outside, just the skin, maintaining its shape and this huge pile.
Was there a trail of breadcrumbs? Was there anything to?
There was no clue
to follow. You didn't find yourself following the trail into the space between the walls and into the rat kingdom.
Thank God I didn't, because that was what they were trying to get me to do. It was a trap. Although I would be king of the rats now, so to be fair, it swings and roundabouts. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be podding. I would have 58 admittedly horrific wives.
You know, 100,000 children.
That's true. So this time, this time it'd be a nightmare.
Are you sure it was rats and not some sort of conceptual artist?
Well, he's talking about my flatmate at the time. I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, it was a creative flat. It was one of those flats where none of us were earning any money. We were all being creative.
Oh, it's Boho.
Yeah. It was Boho.
Oh, yeah. It was sort of 1910s Montmartre, wasn't it?
It really was. It was an absolute
30s Berlin.
Fermenting creativity.
And tuberculosis.
And tuberculosis.
From the open bin.
From the open bin. So, I actually, to be fair, I think it was probably mice. Hmm. I think that's something. And I think what had happened was, a mouse had done much more like my childhood gerbil used to do, which was to burrow and make itself a home in the bread, I think. That's what, like, gerbils and hamsters do similar stuff. So I think it was a mouse had essentially tried to move into the loaf of bread. you know, certainly in London, that, you know,
location,
isn't it? I mean, that loaf of bread was actually probably described as an edible open plan.
studio
apartment. Yeah.
I know this is slightly off topic, yeah. And I know this is Ratmus.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it could be Ratmus every day. Mm-hmm.
Feliz Navirat.
Feliz Navirat.
I'm going to wishing you a merry Ratmus.
Feliz Navidad has crept up on me over the last 10 years, as I think possibly my favourite Christmas
song. It's one of my absolute faves.
It's crept up, I think, on Britain. I don't think it was big 10 years ago.
No.
I think it's, is it Spanish soft power at work?
I think it's American soft power.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
I just was going to butt in and say, we had an email, Mike, on the topic of burrowing animals.
Oh, yeah.
Can you pass this on to Bob and Ruth, your next door neighbours?
Certainly.
Someone else had a tortoise that went missing.
Yeah.
It had burrowed under the earth again.
You told me that one.
No, this is a different one.
Really?
So someone said that they were spading the ground and the spade hit the tortoise,
yeah.
Which sounds a bit violent. Mm. They said what you can do is get the other end of a broom, the handle end of a broom,
yeah,
and just gently poke it into the ground.
Okay.
Looking for resistance. The kind of resistance that might be provided by a tortoise.
Oh, that's fine, because I often play sort of minefield search anyway on a Saturday afternoon.
There you go.
So I can just incorporate that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like identifying a witch in medieval times, isn't it? It's like, yes, I found an ex-tortoise.
That's why they said gently, just gently put the broom into the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, probe for the tortoise.
By the way, I met a tortoise owner the other day and discussed eggs case.
Yes.
And they did confirm that tortoises, you know, their tortoise goes missing all the time for quite extended periods, and it's generally buried itself in something. She also said something which confirmed what you said, Mike, which is they're surprisingly good climbers. But that begs the question, how surprisingly?
It's pretty surprising.
Well, no, it depends. But, yeah, but
well, the bar is low, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. But they're not like Dracula going up the building. Have we talked about that?
It's not quite. Yeah, you mentioned that. It's not quite. Yeah, I don't think it's quite the full skitter.
It's not full skitter.
And they don't have the accoutrement of your human climber.
No.
I've never seen a sort of
little tiny bag of chalk.
Bag of chalk, bits of rope, all of that.
And where possible, they will use the cable car.
Have yourself a merry little Ratmus.
Full of Yuletide claws.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, rat.
Nice.
Thank you.
I saw mummy kissing a rat.
Underneath the hollowed out loaf of bread.
By the way, I hope you've all remembered to leave a loaf of square bread out for the rat. It's not just the Cassandra and the reindeer, is it, that needs a snack?
For the gravity-defying flying rats of Christmas.
For the flying rats. Also, bury some lettuce in your garden in case there's a lost...
There's a lot of hungry
tortoise on the loose.
Deck the halls with scores of rat traps. Snappy, snappy, snap, 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 snap.
Good King Ratless last looked out on a load of rats. I know that this feels like probably like a very unoriginal comment, but wouldn't it be worth... I've always thought this, like, if you had children, I know, Mike, it might be too late for you to deploy this. I've always thought, train one of them to be a goalkeeper. Yes. Anyone can fucking do it.
You've mentioned this so many times.
No one wants to do it. It's really easy. You get paid loads of money.
You're very much a sort of single party, single issue party.
I know.
I would say. This is your thing. This is your soapbox.
It's my soapbox. And also, you can literally pick up the ball. The one thing that's hard about football, you literally can pick it up. But it's, like, it's ridiculous. Okay. So that, and it's really well paid if you make it big. But the other one is, I wonder if you should also get a second, if you've got a second child, get them on writing a Christmas song.
Okay.
Because again, even if, you know, if all you thought about all the time, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of your life, 35 years, 40, you'd surely eventually you would probably hit gold. And you'd have to borrow a lot of money to survive up until that point. You have to work. Everything's on credit, though.
Yeah, it's a hard sell to the bank manager, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a bit of a... I'm so close.
That's probably on the list of things they have stuck on the post-it by their laptop to automatic no to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christmas song author.
And you hand it on to the next person when they take over your job. You go, by the way, this has saved me so much time. I wish I'd had this from the start, these post-its.
You will get scores of people coming in every day.
Anyone that says Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other post-its are, if they're asking for money to make a cafe where you can also do pottery in it. That's pie in the sky.
Also, the pizza restaurant idea, which happened in, actually I may have talked about it before, which happened in Chiswick, which didn't last very long, which was a pizza restaurant where...
Just the crusts?
No, it was... Yeah, to make your hair all curly or not curly or something that I wouldn't understand. No, it was something to do with, you made the pizza there. You made it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you took it home. And then you took it home.
You gave it to yourself.
And maybe you cooked it yourself at home, but you made it there or something. It was such a weird idea. I still can't really get my head around. Does that make any sense?
Have you got mixed up with getting a job at Asda behind the pizza counter?
Well, I'm stealing the pizzas. No, I've never got that wrong. I'll come back to that.
Anyway, Ratmus is not about our rat stories.
No.
It's about your rat
stories. Oh, no, that was it. Sorry. This restaurant.
that was a really lovely bit of let's get on with it business.
Sorry. Absolutely crapped on.
Sorry, Ben. No, what it was they delivered the pizza to you and you cooked it in your oven.
Right.
At home. So the idea is it was hot.
Mm.
Like, but obviously your oven is just a shit oven. You know, it's not a pizza oven, so you'd be just making a quite a low quality pizza at home. But it's amazing to think, isn't it? Those people that try and when was the last time that a shop or a restaurant changed the concept of something and it worked? Does that happen, or is it slow evolution? Do you think these things?
Yeah, what was the last revolution? Mm. Well, weirdly, Yo Sushi, which felt very exciting to me when it had the conveyor belts and stuff.
Yeah,
they've stopped doing that now. It's just a normal restaurant.
Really?
Yeah,
they've taken away all the conveyor belts.
But also, try getting a good night's sleep in one of those Yo hotels, because you're steaming around the... You're going, oh, I'm in reception, or here I'm now, going through the toilets. Oh, it's really knackering. They do have hotels, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ratmus isn't about our rat stories. Ratmus isn't about our rat stories.
It's about your rat story. Isn't it? Yeah, good.
Mike, do you have a 10-second long rat story from your life so we can all throw in a rat story? Henry's put in the loaf.
I've got a very recent one.
Okay, here we go.
It's not much of a story. Pam, like many dogs, likes to sort of occasionally roll in things, usually gross things, you know, a bit of fox pee, cow pat, that kind of thing.
Lovely.
And we've had a lot of heavy weather recently down by the floodplain. And she was having a real good rummage on something. And she scampered away from it. And what she was having a rummage in was a quite flat, dead, very large rat, water rat, belly up.
Wow.
Oh.
Facing a state of absolute anguish.
Oh.
And
so she was like a rolling pin, making a hideous, preparing hideous, evil pastry crust.
The absolute business right in the,
Oh.
Back rub for Pam.
They do flatten though. Rats, so, they say we so like
yeah,
them.
It was very flat.
They flatten out really.
They pancake. Lifetime after that.
Yeah. And it's a great revenge option, isn't it, on a foe as a, you stick a rat amongst a stack of ordinary American style pancakes. You stick a rat in there.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's a good.
It's like 20p in the Christmas pudding.
Yeah, exactly. The other way around. Yeah.
My rat story. I've not had a recent one. When I was a child, I got a very, very vivid memory of our next door neighbour, Frank, coming round and knocking on the door, quite fretless or frenzied, saying to my mother, I've just seen a, it's your garage. I've just seen a beaver in your garage.
That's the wrong emotional response. Where shouldn't it be like, I've just seen a beaver in your cabin? That's how I would say it. Although that was before beavers were reintroduced into Britain.
Exactly. So,
so that would he would have thought it's a spy beaver.
A Russian spy beaver.
The Russians are coming. My God. They've trained beavers.
Oh, yeah.
They'll stop at nothing.
Yeah. And he thought he'd seen a beaver creeping into a garage when in fact it of course was a rat.
Mm. Oh. But that gives you a sense of the scale of the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the scale of the Nashers as well.
The right? scale of it. I've just seen someone who's must be on his way to a Star Wars cosplay. There's a Chewbacca in you. Oh my. Blimey now.
I've just seen someone driving a hairy Hyundai i10 into your garage.
What the? No, it's. Hang on. Hyundais don't have tails.
Anyway, Ratmus isn't about our rat stories.
It's so true. It's not, is it?
Ratmus is about your rat stories.
Yeah.
Now, before we start, I've been looking through the emails. A friend of mine, Michael, said he was going to send in his rat story.
Yeah.
Told me, give me a preview of it. It was good. He's not sent it in.
Oh. Well, you know what? I think we have got a rat story there about a rat called Michael.
Why, exactly?
Yeah. Not all rats have tails. Some of them are just gits.
I'll pray see it. Was on the dating scene. Mm-hmm. Met a young lady. Got on really well. Went back to her flat. Mm. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Like really messy and dirty and grim.
There's always a catch.
Open bin?
Probably an open
bin.
Hang
on a second. Yeah.
Hang on a moment.
Hang on. Hang on. Did he have such a bad time with me that in the middle of the night he went out into the kitchen and tried to move into a loaf of bread? Tried to escape into a loaf of bread? Hang on. Okay.
They conducted sexual congress, after which he removed the prophylactic.
God almighty.
It was put to one side. And moments later, he was watching a rat eat his issue.
Oh, Ben, you're couching that in such nice, neutral language. You almost made me relax.
I'm sorry, everyone. I've ruined Ratmus.
You came in hard. Oh,
yeah.
It's the most wonderful rat of the year. Holy shit. Okay.
Let's move on to an actual email. This is from Miguel. Miquel? M-I-Q-U-E-L.
Yeah.
Miquel?
Miquel.
Miquel. Thanks, Miquel. Who said he's sending it from Rat City.
Well, that's any city in the world, and every city, isn't it?
Lots of people would lay claim to that.
Yeah. Rats know no borders, really, do they? So
this is a story about his wife. Mm. She moved back with a roommate to Chicago, the rat capital of America.
Mm. Oh, wow. So that's interesting. By the way, the rat capital is not always the same as the legislative capital.
As a financial capital. As a financial,
yeah. Often it is, but often it isn't. It can be quite confusing. Yeah.
They lived in a house off an alley. Well, if I know
off an alley?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds scary.
One day they noticed a rat in the house and freaked out. So they called the landlord, who found the hole through which the rat had come in and covered it with a metal plate. Problem solved. Except my now wife came back home to learn that the landlord had blocked the rat in the house rather than out of the house.
Can I say that is always the problem with pest control, with the concept of pest control. I've had pest controllers come around and do that and talk about blocking things out. And it's like, it's fine, unless it's inside, in which case you're now living with a rat for the rest of your life. Like, with a rat, the rat has to become part of your social clan. You know? So, like...
Yeah.
Because what are the chances that it's in or out at any one time? Also, they, as we've discussed before, they can get through any crack, can't they?
Size of a pencil.
Size of a pencil.
In a show of valour, she ran out of the back door.
Mm.
Her roommate came back and checked everywhere for the rat. It was nowhere to be found. After very careful inspection, he concluded that the rat must have run out through the back door, which my now wife had left open during her strategic retreat. Mm. So he grabs his stuff and hops on the bus to work. Problem solved. Things are good. The rat is gone. Nice music is playing during his commute. He's tapping his foot along to it, backpack on his lap. Except the song ends, the tapping stops, and the backpack is still bouncing on his lap. He's found the rat.
What? It's in his rucksack on the way to work.
Yes.
Fuck, bloody hell. He's got a rucksack. He's got a rucksack. I did not see that coming. That is a brilliant switcheroo, it's a reversal.
It's a lovely bit of storytelling.
Bloody hell, that's a good bit of storytelling. Does it end there?
There's an epilogue.
Okay.
Epilogue. He ran out of the bus at the next stop, unzipped the backpack, and threw it as far as he could.
And
the rat then scurried out of the backpack onto the street, where it was flattened by that same bus.
That's very tidy, isn't it?
On the first day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
This is from Isaac, and it is entitled Provincial Dad Rat Story. Dear Beans, your most recent episode on the Netherlands put out... Your most recent episode on the Netherlands put out
not
a request...
Not as easy as it looks, is it, Mike?
Yeah.
You have to add the missing words and things. Dear Beans, your most recent episode on the Netherlands put out a request for horror rat content. This was rather brave. As a long-time listener, I had to write. Just this week, I had a rat incident. As a proud provincial dad, I am also a proud poultry breeder. I had a broody hen sitting on duck eggs, but only one managed to hatch, sadly.
Sitting on duck eggs? What kind of sick place is this guy running? It's a cross-species egg situation.
It'll be a duck hen, Ben. It'll be a duck hen.
Oh, I see. Is it?
I'm assuming it's a duck hen.
He's provincial, so needs must, you know, in the provinces. However, the ugly duckling was doing quite well for a week until one night its mum decided to roost rather than sit on the ground on top of her for protection. Sadly, the small duckling was then exposed vulnerable, a sitting duck. She was certainly no match for the family of rats that were living next door. As this is Australia, our rats are, of course, more vicious, clever, and generally lethal than their European cousins. The next morning, I found my poor darling duckling's feet at the entry to the rat hole. That was all they had left of her. As a provincial dad, I had no other option than to start a full military campaign. I camped out at the coop for the next few nights in the rain and shot every rat I saw. All the best, Isaac.
What an Australian story that is.
That feels very Russell Crowe somehow, doesn't it? Because he just shot those rats and no one would have been able to hear the gunshot because he'll live 6,000 miles from anyone else.
We deal with things ourselves out here. Yeah. You understand? Yeah.
Wearing those feet around his neck on a necklace.
Yeah. With all the other feet. Croc feet. Ostrich feet.
With the crocodile pet that was eaten by rats.
Yeah. Exactly. He could do that. By the way, little tip. He didn't realize this. Those duck feet, you just plant them in a little bit of soil. Normal soil, bit of water, give them a good bit of light, and they'll grow they'll grow other duck feet off them, and they'll become just sort
a centi duck.
They'll become centi ducks, yeah.
A duckipede.
They'll become a duckipede.
But this is Australia. They can't just use water for these little projects. This is like June, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Water is life.
That's true.
They need water to make lager, Henry.
Yeah.
On the second day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me two duckling feet and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. A space rat came travelling on a ship from afar. Constantly pissing, following a star.
And I said, rat. Dearest Beans, you recently asked for people's rat stories. I used to be a network engineer. I was called out to a site where the entire network had gone down. Not narrowing down any day, then, is it? You're supposed to help specify what day it happens, mate, not just mean. Yeah. That's quite good.
It's half-hearted.
Yeah. I was called out to a site where the entire network had gone down. Sorry. To gain access to the area in question, I had to take the lid off a chamber and lower myself down into it. Mm. It was just above head height deep.
Okay.
I don't really like spiders, so I was quite on edge. I took the four screws out of a blanking panel on the wall at about chest height.
Yeah.
As I pulled the panel off, I estimate between 75 and 100 rats poured out of the ducting and hit me in the chest and face.
I think we've found our network problem.
Wow. Can I say, one of the many horrifying things about rats is their ability to pour.
Their liquid nature.
They are liquid. They are basically liquid, fluid, aren't they? Scientifically
speaking,
They'll fill a container. Yeah. And scientifically, there's no actual way of distinguishing between a rat and a liquid. It is a liquid. Scientists can't. They're exactly the same as a liquid.
Hence getting through a pen,
exactly. They can fit into any space. Mm. They'll pour out of things. They'll pour out of teapots. Oh, they'll splash. Don't they? Because
they'll boil.
They'll boil anything which pours must also splash and pour. So they would have poured onto his face and splashed off. They can create waves. You can actually surf rats. In theory. You can get a puddle of them. My first instinct was to scream out. The next thought he had is exactly the thought I had. But I thought if I did, they might go into my mouth. Which they totally would do. So I just stood there as still as I could, waist deep in rats. Luckily, a colleague saw what happened and lifted me out. Love the podcast. Paul.
Lovely stuff.
That's extraordinary. Well done, Paul.
That's really, really good.
On the third day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. Next day of Ratmus. This is a long one. It's Karen from Dublin. Love the pod. Hope you guys have some plans to come to Ireland eventually. Okay. Firstly, can I start by saying how absolutely thrilled I am to finally have a space to share this rancid, vomit-inducing story.
Mm, promising.
When I've told the story to friends and family in the past, it hasn't been well received.
Well, you're talking to the right people, isn't it? We know about that. We know how that feels.
This story encapsulates the most bittersweet moment of my life.
Mm, crikey.
Great setup.
Yeah.
I'm currently writing this email on the train to work. Thankfully, I'm now working in a more sane environment than I was back when this incident took place. My rat story begins 10 years ago when I had just finished college. Mm-hmm. I got a job as a project manager in an engineering company in Dublin, which shall remain nameless. The owner of this company was one of the most bizarre and horrific individuals I have ever had the misfortune of meeting. Imagine an alcoholic, sexually inappropriate, heaving mound of existence.
Wow. I just have to look at the two people in front of me. It's just take my pick. Which one do I go for?
Of course, he was filthy rich. But what ran parallel to this was his outright refusal to spend a penny on maintenance for our offices. Something was always broken or leaking or making a suspicious noise. Over the course of a few weeks, a stain had started to develop on the false ceiling.
Ugh.
Approximately 6 foot from my desk. This wasn't at all surprising, as the building was pretty much in ruins from neglect. Oh. However, day by day, the stain was progressively getting larger and darker in colour.
Oh.
One day in passing, I mentioned this to our boss, and he said he might want to get it checked out. Then, in his true Scrooge-like fashion, he went to the workshop next door to retrieve a ladder. Why would he pay someone to look at the problem when he could just do it himself? He returned back with the ladder, climbed up, and began lifting the false ceiling tiles.
Oh.
He got 2 tiles in before, splat, a huge dead rat fell from the ceiling, hitting our boss on the shoulder first, and then splatting all over the ground like a water balloon of guts.
They do balloon out. We've talked about that before. Because the internal gas, well, like Henry VIII style, isn't it? The internal gases, they bloat and sometimes explode on dying. Yeah.
People began retching in disgust and running out of the office. I had no idea the range of liquid rat splatter could be so great, but it was everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Our boss was paralysed in disgust for a few moments, but then snapped out of it and screamed at one of the lads I worked with to clean up the mess.
Wow.
It was truly horrendous to witness, but I'd relive it every day again just to see that perverted fuck covered in rancid liquefied rat cadaver.
That is superb.
Oh, Karen, that was magnificent.
So a bit of cosmic justice there, delivered by rat. I like that.
And also, yes, the story, which is often so often the case in rat stories, and why why every great national, every great storytelling culture has its rat myths, is because who's the actual rat?
Yes,
lovely. And with the, I enjoyed the. The sort of it heralded itself a bit, didn't it? There was rat death seep.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a nice, sinister horror film, like the creeping darkness. Mm. What is the creeping darkness?
It was a very, very well-structured story. I've got to say, like, that was superbly well told, because it started with her on the train. You know, the narrative had a kind of
framing device.
There's a framing device.
Yeah.
It's like at the beginning of a Disney film, an old book opens up and it's Once Upon a Time.
Mm.
So she was sat on that train.
Or in Titanic, there's the 85-year-old lady taking a trip on the Titanic.
That's right.
Similar thing.
Yeah. And or at the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life, although they didn't always keep this bit in, but there's a dead rat in a sewer and the camera flies up his ass.
And that's where the whole story actually takes place.
Yeah.
And it's the lower intestines.
It's all about microbiomes. It's all about little microbiotic little creatures living up rats.
Brilliant story.
They're brilliant.
She's our Joyce. She's got a Ulysses that people are actually interested in finishing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's more, much more manageable length. For a novel, which is about two chunky paragraphs, and then a lot of dedications. But also, quite often in a story like that, when you cut back at the end to the storyteller who sat on the train on the way to work, you then get a little additional reveal, which is she's got a ring on her finger. The ring is made out of rat cartilage. She's married to a ginormous rat and it's sat next to her and they're on the way to work together. They work together as well. It's quite nice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
because when you get married to someone, you tend to get a ring made out of their cartilage, don't you?
and get a job together.
On the fourth day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me a large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. Mike, you've got another one, I think.
Oh, great.
For our fifth day of Ratmus.
It's the most wonderful rat of the year. We've had that one, haven't we?
We're running low now on Christmas.
Are there any new ones we haven't done?
It's beginning to look a lot like Ratmus. Everywhere you go.
There's fetid feces in the street. People puking on their feet.
It was Rasmus Eve, babe. And in the Rasmus.
And all the rats said to me.
And the NYPD rats.
Okay. Ooh, this is a double.
Oh, is it? Double Rasmus.
That's what he says. This is entitled, this is from Sam, entitled Tortoise Rat Melange. Sorry, I've double anecdoted here. Combining the cycling over an animal and misplaced tortoise themes. Fair enough. As a teenager, I was mountain biking in the Pyrenees and got ready to get some pretty sick air off a mound in the trail when I realised that it had legs. I managed to slam on the brakes and avoided a collision, but my brother was behind and not expecting it, so he went over the handlebars and ended up in a bush. Win-win. Oh, and on a separate rat topic, we had a school science open day where the biology department A-level students did rat dissections to show off the fact that we had access to all the scientific advances of the 16th century. The teachers had bought a job lot of rats from somewhere and they arrived the night before frozen into an enormous block. One of the technicians took the block home and defrosted it in a warm bath, so the next day we arrived to a huge vat of lukewarm, decomposing rat consommé and had to spend the whole day cutting up the festering croutons. If you are going to batch freeze rats, little bit of advice, because it can be like when you freeze sliced bread, you know, and the bits of bread get
They adhere.
So if you, once you take them out of the freezer, get a chisel or a bread knife on those rats quickly, and you bash them. They'll pop off. They'll pop out of each other's. You know, they'll pop apart from each other quite easily. But if you let them just defrost a little bit, they become soft and claggy, and it's much harder to separate them.
You'll be dealing with a sort of a semi-defrosted mega rat.
Yeah, which isn't good.
On the fifth day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a block of frozen rats. A large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats to duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
Long-time listener, first-time emailer. But your request for rat tales brought to mind a horrifying incident that took place this autumn. This rat tale starts with a lovely walk with friends and our 12-month-old son around Alexandra Palace, Boating Lake, in London town. in a voice situation, we might do another take on that, but I think we can crack on. Alexandra Palace, Boating Lake, in London town. At the time, our son was taking his first steps. It really was a magical time, and one that usually meant pretty slow progress on foot. As we walked round the lake, we stopped to admire the ducks mingling among the pigeons as they harmoniously wandered around in piles of Canadian goose shit. They all seemed to be having a fantastic time. Suddenly, out of nowhere, appeared a rat the size of a pug. The ducks bailed, immediately seeking the refuge and perspective provided by the shallows of the lake, a luxury not afforded the pigeons. The rat pug circled the pigeons. I mean, they have got the flying option, but anyway. The rat pug, you think? The rat pug circled the pigeons, picking his prey. He set about separating one from the group. Then he pounced, straight for the jugular. Rat pug wrestled it to the ground, the pigeon flapping hopelessly whilst all its little pigeon friends initially watched on in horror, then, having decided he was too far gone, simply resigned to his fate, and they continued to peck away at the piles of goose shit. It took 2, maybe 3 minutes for the rat to finish the job. Once he had simply... And they'd stood there watching this all for 3 minutes with their 12-month-old son. And that's how serial killers are made. Once he simply walked through the pigeon crowd like Moses across the Red Sea and back into the bushes. We'll never know why the pigeons didn't fly away faced with this horror, or why you and your family didn't walk away. him and the pigeons are basically all in the same sort of mindset, weren't they? They were just sort of rubbernecking. We'll never know why 30 or so pigeons chose to leave one of their own to this fate. What we do know is that this is yet further evidence of the depraved and soulless nature of the rat, killing for fun, a rat amongst the pigeons. My son found the whole affair exciting and amusing in equal measure. It's a lovely age, isn't it? Perhaps something a future therapist can pick up with him. My wife and our friends have not been able to look each other in the eye since. Once you've seen a rat kill a pigeon in front of an audience of pigeons, it changes you. It really does. I'm not sure why we couldn't drag ourselves away from the whole incident either. I assume we were enchanted by some sort of rat pug spell. I also have a horrifying tale involving a chicken, a fox, and an axe that took place in rural southern France. But I'll wait for the podcast to inevitably turn in that direction. George from Lower Crouch End.
Very nice, George.
Thank you, George. He means archway.
He absolutely means archway.
Lower Crouch End.
No, to be fair for him, he's written George from Lower Crouch End /Tottenham. So he's having a laugh. You know, a chicken, a fox, and an axe. Is that some sort of like Aesop's fable he's referring to? Or
riddle me this. Yeah,
that's chicken, fox, and grain, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the axe really simplifies that riddle, doesn't it?
It does. Basically nullifies it as a riddle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On the sixth day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats. A large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. My story is not quite a rat bursting out of a swan, but it did burn itself into my memory. I went to visit a local restaurant in Edgbaston, brackets Birmingham, I parked in the car park and was about to enter the pub when I saw a dead rat on the floor. I was put off the restaurant slightly, so my wife and I sat in the car park deciding where to go instead, when a herring gull flew in and picked up the rat in its beak. The gull tried to swallow the rat down in one, head first, but it kept getting stuck on the back end of the rat and having to cough the rat back up. We watched it try this a few times and then went to Pizza Express. Regards, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. That's a very... I really like that. That's short and sweet. And it also, there's an important element of the rat story where they are engrossing. These horrors, they are deeply engrossing.
They really are.
And Feliz Ratidad. Feliz Ratidad.
You can't take your eyes off that. And I understand that. You want to see the end of that story.
There's something mesmerizing, isn't it, about... But it's nice that was a case where nature sorted itself out, didn't it?
It was
the herring gull, which I assume is some sort of flying herring, right? Which I've never seen.
But also, nature took its course by the couple eventually going to Pizza Express. That is kind of...
Yes, exactly. All is right with the world.
All is right with the world.
Which is a happy ending. And if you're a storyteller yourself and you're looking for a happy ending to a story or stuff,
that's just... One of the easiest ways to do it, isn't it?
Up in Pizza Express,
yeah. Yeah. And it's also everyone's going back to their natural habitat, isn't it? The herring baboon.
Did you say?
The herring gull's going back to the ocean with the rat. The humans going to everyone's in their natural habitat it's doing what they
a long way to go, isn't it?
What they were born to do.
Fair play to it.
Yeah.
On the seventh day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats. A large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
This one is promisingly titled Garbage Shed Rat. And it's from Jukka from Helsinki, or Jukka from Helsinki. So, hello. I too have a rat story, although only horrifying in the psychological sense instead of the usual guts and viscera.
Oh, good. I like the sound of that.
No, interesting. Yeah. More Hitchcock.
Maybe a sort of dark Scandi movie version, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Freshly broken up, I decided to move from the outskirts of Helsinki to Kallio near the centre, a sort of Helsinki's Camden town. The hipster-infested, artsy part of town seemed a fine place for a single young man to spend time recovering from heartbreak. Hipsters, however, weren't the only creature infesting Kallio. I discovered this when taking the first armload of moving-related garbage to the communal garbage shed. Opening the door, I was greeted by a bluebell-sized rat regarding me at eye level, perched upon the cardboard bin. I didn't panic. I knew rats to be apprehensive beasts, so I kicked a bin to send it scurrying on its way. The rat didn't move a muscle.
Oh, yeah.
It calmly stared me down with a look of pure disdain in its beady eyes. It was as if the rat knew I was alone in a new part of town, with my self-confidence at a post-breakup low. You should not have moved here, the look seemed to say.
Wow.
For this is the city of the rat. I could not endure its rodential regard for long. Suffice it to say that the cardboard did not make it into the recycling that day, and for many days hence. Jukka.
That was great. I mean, like the use of the word rodential was a real high point for me.
Yeah.
Is that even a word? It is now.
It should be.
Rodential.
This is, I think Putin has quite a similar formative story.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
From his childhood in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, when he realised he was cornered by rats running around in a building and he realised that he...
Stared down a mega rat.
That he had to kill them with Novichok.
And then deny everything. Is that true that he had to face off some rats?
Yeah.
He's got a story that he tells about, I think, and particularly facing off a mega rat looking it in the eye. There's a moment of, like, a formative moment in his childhood where he's,
wow.
It's one-on-one, eyeballing a rat, you're toe-to-toe, toe-to-claw.
I think it was a kill or be killed moment type thing, was it? Or was it to do with that?
Well, I think, oddly, he doesn't come... The story I heard, I don't think he comes out of it, like... necessarily too heroic.
I think what he actually did is he befriended the rat, gave the rat quite a high-ranking job, and then eventually the rat just fell out of a window. That's how he dealt with it. It's quite terrifying, isn't it? There are moments where you face up to an animal and it doesn't back down are quite terrifying.
Yeah.
So, like, Dogs can be absolutely terrifying, I think. I mean, generally, they're lovely. Obviously, Pam's lovely. But when a dog... Have you ever faced up to a dog when it starts showing its teeth and snarling? I mean, it's absolutely... It's a horrifying moment. So just the idea of that rat just standing its ground. I actually had a similar thing with a cockroach when I was on holiday in Thailand once. I went to have a shower. I was travelling. So I was staying in this hostel. I went down to have a shower. And there was this one cockroach that was just staring at me across the bathroom floor. And I just couldn't move. I was terrified by it. And we were just staring each other out. And eventually I ran past it, went in to have a shower. There was a bunch of shower cubicles. I was having a shower. And then I saw his little antennae coming through... through a sort of hole in the sort of wall had kind of these holes in the bricks and I saw his little antennae coming in because he was following the light. So I jumped out of the shower, went into the next cubicle, turned the light on, and started washing myself. A few minutes later, I saw his little antennae coming in, and I literally said to myself, "Right, so that's it. I'm going to have a shower, staggered over these five cubicles, up and down,
mm-hmm. every time regardless I go into a cubicle, whether or not they're occupied,
regardless of whether." and just do it like that. And that's why I did it. It took me about half an hour to have the shower because I'd just do a little bit further. You know, I'd soap up a nipple. I just thought this story maybe needed a bit of blue just to spice it up a bit. I'd go to the next cubicle. I'd maybe
you know, condition a bollock.
Condition a bollock. You know, go into another one, froth up a thigh. Do you know what I mean? Cover myself in the soap. And then gradually wash it all off, just cubicle by cubicle. And this little cockroach following me each time.
Rudolph the rat-nosed reindeer had a very shiny rat nose. On the eighth day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a rat that stared me down, a herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats. A large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
On the ninth day of Ratmas, my true love gave to me this anecdote about rats. My dear Beans, you asked for more stories about rats, so I shall recount to you a tale as old as the Pied Piper of Hamelin. An ex-boyfriend of mine had a flatmate who was the embodiment of a stereotypical hippie. Picture Neil from The Young Ones, but with blonder long hair and a Harrogate accent.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Where is Harrogate? Is it north?
Yorkshire. Yeah, Yorkshire.
Northern, all right. One evening, while sitting in their Kew station side lodgings...
What?
I don't know what that means.
How are you spelling Kew?
They spelled it K-E-W station. So one
as
evening
in the
whilst,
place. As in the place in London.
With a capital K, yeah. One evening, while sitting in their Kew station side lodgings, my ex saw a rat scuttle across the floor and run under, for data protection, let's call it Susan's bedroom door. He knocked on the door, no answer. Knocked again, nothing. Fearing the fearsome creature had already overwhelmed Susan, he opened the door to find said Susan lying on his/her futon, smoking a huge spliff, while the rat sat contentedly on his chest, inhaling.
What?
This is a new side of rat behaviour I did not know about. Inhaling, and I think we can safely assume smirking, as it contemplated burrowing inside Susan, ready to burst out of his/her chest later at a later date. Incidentally, this same ex is a motorcyclist who subsequently accelerated too soon as the level crossing barriers were raising at East Sheen Station, getting his cycle helmet caught in the crosshairs, as it were, and began to be lifted off of his bike, his neck straining upwards before some benevolent pedestrians pulled him back to earth.
Good Lord.
My word.
Yours, Gemma from Bremen.
Well, Gemma, that was
yeah.
Oh, that gives a whole new angle, doesn't it, to rats. The idea that rats
would chill out with the doob.
Would chill out with some doob. And maybe show a different side to themselves.
I like it.
On the ninth day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a bifter smoking rat, a rat that stared me down, a hare herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats, a large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
The tenth day of Ratmas, this is from Ben from Tamworth.
Thank you, Ben.
Dear Beans, after listening to your recent episode, I felt I must tell you about my dad's experience as a policeman in Birmingham in the late 60s.
Okay, great.
Good historical rat story. He was called to a robbery at a meat processing plant.
Yes.
Which, of course, was Britain's main industry, wasn't it, in the 60s?
Yeah, 80% of Birmingham was meat processing plants.
Yeah, it was all meat processing, yeah.
Where a safe had been broken into. As he was being escorted through the cold storage, he saw a strange grey blur out of the corner of his eye. Mm. Amongst the frozen pig carcasses were rats that had adapted to the sub-zero temperatures by growing thick coats.
Of course they do. And by smoking doobies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This gave them the appearance of small cats, medium-sized rabbits, or miniature dogs.
All of those ideas are horrific in their own way.
They certainly would have not have fitted down a biro. Amazing creatures. Keep up the lukewarm banter. Ben from Tamworth.
Wow.
Well, they're incredibly adaptable. That's one of the things that's so frightening about rats, isn't it? They can adapt to so many different kinds of conditions.
On the 10th day of Ratmas, my true love sent to me a sub-zero rat, a bifter smoking rat, a brat that stared me down, a herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats, a large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee.
Okay, this is from Andy, and is entitled Horrific Rat Tale, which I think is useful, and useful for the listeners to know.
That it's going to be horrific?
Yeah.
I don't think anything we've read out today hasn't been horrific.
No, that's true. It's in fact, we should probably put in a retrospective trigger warning, shouldn't we? Some of the stuff you have listened to
will be about rats.
And will change you forever.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this in the car with children,
mm-hmm. Turn around, they're no longer children, they're thousands of rats.
Okay,
so this is from Andy. Hi Beans, I've got a story to rival the trauma of the rat bursting out of the swan. When I was a cub, we had to take part in a St. George's Day parade through the centre of town. As we walked past a pub, a putrid rat, riddled with maggots, fell off the pub roof and onto the shoulder of my friend.
I dub thee Sir Rat.
I'm sure this incident understandably changed him forever or marked him in some kind of rat-based prophecy. Cheers, Andy.
I think that a prophecy has taken place there, yes.
We want to know what's happened to this dear friend. There's no way that friend has forgotten that incident.
No.
It stays with you, the feeling of it landing on your shoulder. it's a two-part process, isn't it? It hits and then it folds over.
As the maggots spray off.
Bits of it will spray.
Impact.
Have you ever had someone drop a lasagna on you from height?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. And obviously it's good luck, but that doesn't...
Well, depending on the shoulder it hits.
Depending on the shoulder, yeah. And depending on the consistency of the bolognese, or whether it's just pork or if it's pork and beef.
Well, yeah, if it hits you on the left shoulder, you'll become the king of Padua.
Yes, and vegetarian lasagna.
Yeah.
In which case, you'll simply be part of their kind of their entourage.
Yeah, yeah. And then right shoulder, you'll marry the ugliest princess in all of Piedmont.
Yeah. And if it lands straight on your head, and a bit of bechamel lands on your nose, you end up having to work in the ticket office at the London Dungeon.
Where you'll fall in love with the first person you see.
That's right. Yeah. Guaranteed. Which, a lot of the time, is an effigy of a... it's a wax man administering a hang, drawing, and quartering, isn't it?
To Shrek.
Because the London Dungeons, of course, is now sponsored by Shrek.
On the 11th day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me a rat on my shoulder, a sub-zero rat, a biffed a smoking rat, a rat that stared me down, a herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats, a large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. And final day of Ratmus, the 12th day of Ratmus, will be delivered by Henry. Thank you to everyone for all of your rat emails. Yeah. We've not got through them all. I think we've probably read, I'd say, about half. But there simply is not enough time in the day to get through all of the horrendous rat experiences that our listeners have had.
Ratmus, baby, deliver rat up a pen for me. For me. Been an awfully good rat. I'm sleeping on a rat tonight.
I really can't stay, but baby, there's rats outside. I got to go away.
There's also rats inside.
But there's also rats inside. Right. Hi, Beans. Here is my rat story.
Hi.
Who's it from?
This is from Ruth in Stourbridge.
Great.
Hello, Ruth.
This is one of those secondhand stories that has entered friendship group folklore.
Ah.
My friend once lived in a cul-de-sac in a semi-rural area near to some stables. He would often notice a band of local youths gathered outside his front door, chanting and running about. One day, they seemed particularly rowdy, and when he looked out of the window, he noticed one kid with a sharpened stick upon which he'd impaled what looked like a dead rat. The boy was running around waving it in the others' faces to screams of horror and disgust.
Absolute legend, can I just say? This is
terrible behaviour. What a legend. You, my friend, thought, how barbaric. And then he noticed a steaming pile of horse poo in the middle of the road.
Hmm.
He thought he must have been mistaken, and it wasn't a putrid rat the child was wielding, but just a bit of equine faeces. But no, it was a rat. A rat that the child kept dipping in the shit. Before lunging at his friends. And hence the game Shitty Rat was born. Harmless fun in the Worcestershire countryside.
What a bucolic.
What a lovely bucolic image, isn't it?
Oh, England.
It's so lovely, and it's so, I'm almost, Mike, being going to rural weddings, you must be almost bored the amount of times that's the story of how they met, you know, the bride met the groom.
Good old game of shitty rat.
Good old game of shitty rat.
Yeah, and often, yeah, the wedding breakfasts will end with a game of shitty rat.
A game of shitty rat.
On the 12th day of Ratmus, my true love sent to me a shitty rat, a rat on my shoulder, a sub-zero rat, a biffed a smoking rat, a rat that stared me down, a herring gull, a dead pigeon, a block of frozen rats, a large ceiling stain, 100 pouring rats, 2 duckling feet, and a rucksack bouncing on my knee. Oh, Christ.
Well, that was Ratmus. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for these Ratmus celebrations.
Yes, merry Ratmus, one and all.
Enjoy the rest of your Ratmus day.
Mm. Yeah.
Your Ratmus meal, your game of shitty rat with the family afterwards.
Surrounded by your nearest and dearest rats.
Yeah. And I hope Ratna Claus has brought you something nice, something unexpected. Maybe a pile of breadcrumbs, maybe just some small dry turds, maybe some wet turds.
Maybe Viles disease.
Yeah.
And, Merry Ratmus.
Merry Ratmus, everyone.
Merry Ratmus.